Again, happy Mother's Day. And for all of the mothers, for those who have taken on that role, you know, of mother, encouraging and supporting and lifting up and being in that role of mother, in the role that God has placed you in those individual lives, those people's lives, the people that God put right in your path, and you've taken on that role of being mother, I just say thank you. Thank you and happy Mother's Day. Thank you and happy Mother's Day. You know, mothers possess a unique quality of love, kind of that a version of that love that we're just singing about, but a unique characteristic of love. God has given mothers this characteristic of love that you can see and you can draw out the best. It's a love that you have that doesn't harbor on the past or hold a grudge. A love that's individual and personal. Moms, those who use your unique feminine qualities to promote and assure and to build up those around you, thank you. Thank you. Especially on this day, I just want to say thank you. But I also, moms, I want to kind of bring this word of caution to you. And here's what it is. I want to say beware of the temptation to compare. I think you know what I mean already, that maybe you've looked on Pinterest, or you've looked on Facebook or something like that, or, you know, all of this digital age is such great, and many of these social media things are designed with great intention to help us connect and see what is going on in the lives of loved ones, of friends and family, no matter where they are. But there is a massive temptation to draw you in and to create an inferior feeling, a feeling of just not feeling good enough when you start surfing through there and looking through there and looking at that social media. You know, you can be having a perfectly good day, and you open up that social media, you flip into it, and you see your Facebook friend that's flashing photographs of their perfect family at the perfect picnic spot with all the perfect things in the perfect park with their angelic children behaving absolutely perfectly with the Hallmark quality cards that their children made them for Mother's Day, and suddenly your perfect day doesn't feel so good anymore. The quickest way to diminish a good day, to diminish the pleasant circumstances, is to compare to someone or something else. Once on vacation, I nearly destroyed my vacation experience, because instead of focusing on the time that I and we were having, I shifted my gaze and I peered over. I looked at you know who, right? I looked at them. You know them, right? The people that are around you, and I compared with them. They were not cleaning up spilled ice cream. They weren't cleaning up the rice that was on the floor. They had a shuttle bus service that took them everywhere. They were smiling. They were laughing. I had caught a cold. I was feeling lousy physically. I was low on energy. And yet I'm on vacation with the people I love, and I'm wearing shorts and sandals, and it's warm weather, and I was grumpy. The quickest way to devalue a good day, great circumstances, or pleasant circumstance is to compare to someone or something else. Here's my phrase for you. Comparison can be crushing. Comparison can be absolutely crushing. You know, comparison can come in the form of many different forms, right? Comparing things like, my neighbor, if you look, his grass is much greener than mine. Some of you have driven by and probably noticed that. Or you may look and say, wow, she has great shoes, much better than I do, and probably more of them too, by the way. But, or maybe you think, wow, isn't that like the third vacation they've taken this year? There's a lot of ways we can compare. A lot of ways we can compare. Sometimes it comes in the form of ability, like comparing yourself to someone else's talents. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, and some of you know this about me anyways, but I am melodically challenged, okay? The music leaders actually here remind me on a regular basis to turn off. That's why I put my hand around here. I've got a little thing. I can turn off my microphone before we start singing, because believe me, you would not want to hear that. You wouldn't tune in again. Now, my wife is amazingly gifted, and Karen appreciates music. We were at a concert one time, and she got to talk to this incredibly talented musician. He was an amazing performer. But I have to tell you, I'm just going to confess to you, I have to tell you, as she's talking to him, I had this twinge of feeling of comparison, and then I'm feeling inadequate as I'm standing there. I know he wasn't anywhere near as good as a husband or a father or a leader than I am, though. But, you know, sometimes I find myself comparing most all of the time, most all of the time, comparing leads to a feeling of inadequacy. I think you've probably felt that somewhere at some time. And here's the thing that we should remember and think about, is the reason that you can't do what someone else can do is because you're not called to be them, you're called to be you. You're called to be you. You were created by God to do what God created you to do, to be you. You were not created by God to be someone else. You are special. Now, God uses a much better and complex definition of that, which I'm going to get to in just a moment. But today I want to encourage you to stop comparing so that you can fulfill God's creation in you. Would you join me in prayer just for a minute? I want to pray. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here together digitally. And I just ask that you in your spirit would speak an empowering word to our hearts today. That your word and your spirit would build us up in faith and give us confidence that we are created by you to do what you have called and designated for us to be and to serve your purpose, to live the lives that shine your light and your love to help us, Lord God, to give up comparing. Help us to give that up and to live up to being satisfied with the way that you have created us by living for your purposes. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but you are perfectly created by God to create and to do and to fulfill God's purposes that he created you to do. You have exactly what you need to do for what God created you to do. You are perfectly designed by the great designer to fulfill his mission, the divine purpose that he has for you. Here's a passage that I want to share with you. This is where God really speaks about that great definition of you are special, but he puts it in such great phrases. Incredible. Ephesians 2:10. And if you have your Bible, if you're sitting at home somewhere and you want to run and get your Bible, do that right now if you don't already have it. This is a great opportunity to write some things in the margin. Or if you've downloaded the message notes, there's some fill-ins that we're flashing up for you. And you may want to take some notes about this, because I think this is very powerful. This has been life-changing and empowering to me. So I just want to share these words with you. So Ephesians 2:10 says this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today, and it says this: for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he has planned for us long ago. Long before you were born, God gave you the gifts that you have to do what you are created to do, and to do what you do today, right? You are God's masterpiece. The Greek word for that, by the way, it means a poetic statement of God. You are a poetic statement of God. You are. That means God created you to fulfill his purpose. Another way of saying this could be this way. Perhaps you've seen it on a bumper sticker. God doesn't create junk. I watched a car go by one day, and it had that bumper sticker on it. I thought it was pretty neat. It was a really old, beat-up car, but that's beside the point. But God doesn't create junk. God knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. You're not an accident. You're not by a mistake. None of that. You are God's masterpiece. God creates masterpieces. Think of this. Have you seen what God has created? The Grand Canyon? Perhaps you've been through Franconia Notch, the majestic, the lakes. You've been around a lake. You've looked at the mountains. Perhaps you've been on top of some of the mountains. The ecology of the earth, the universe. Look up the stars at night. We had a full moon this past week. It was gorgeous. The stars have been beautiful. The human being, right, our very bodies, but the human being that God created, 9 complex systems that are so detailed, and yet they work in harmony with one another so that you can get out of bed in the morning or whenever you get out of bed, but you can get out of bed, you can have a flavorful breakfast, right? You can walk and you can enjoy the beautiful flowers. You can smell the aroma of spring or the other night, the snow that was in the air, I know, but you can enjoy it all. God creates masterpieces. You are His masterpiece. Everything that God has created, He creates intentionally. Every masterpiece is created for a purpose. Some masterpieces that have been created, and these are man-made, but I want to use them as examples. The Mona Lisa is known as a masterpiece. Mount Rushmore is a masterpiece. If you've ever been there, it's incredible to drive up and then to stand in front of that and look at it. And there are many more. I'm just using those for an example. There is something about a masterpiece, though, that I think many times we miss. Masterpieces are created not for themselves. Masterpieces are created to bless others. Godly mothers are a great example of this. If you, moms or actually children and family, if you're tuned in right now and you want to do something special for your mother in a little while your mother really isn't listening to this, I'll tell you, look at Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 31. There's some great passages in there about a wife and mother of noble character. It's very powerful. Great characteristics. And you'll find some of, and you'll say, that's my mom. That's my mom, and you can write a little card to her, and you can give that to her for dinner this afternoon. That would be a great way to surprise your mom. I know she's listening, but so she won't be that surprised, but she'll be glad that you did that. Masterpieces are created not for themselves. And everything that God creates is a masterpiece with a purpose, which means your birth is evidence that you have a purpose, that you are intentionally created, you are necessary. Your birth is evidence that you are of great value. There is no substitute for you. There is no substitute for you. You are perfectly designed by God for His purposes. And you may say, right now where I am and what's going on, I just can't. Just rest in that, because you're created by God, for God. That means that we are to do all that we do for the glory of God. We are to do what we do for the glory of God. And this is where the problem comes in, because to be honest, who we are, you and I, who do we do what we do for? Get honest about this. Who do you do what you do for? Most often, I do what I do for me or for them, you know. Now, taking care of yourself is, of course, healthy, and that's a good thing to do. But when we're honest, often what we do because I want, I feel, or we do what we do because we observe that they have a new car. Mine's old. They have new clothes. We do what we do because their grass is greener, or they have it all together. You know, maybe this message is for someone today, just simply simply for you to stop and reflect and say, I'm going to stop comparing myself to Facebook people, even the friends I know. I'm going to stop comparing myself to them because that, you know, the Pinterest thing, moms come on and they do stuff and they are incredible. I tried folding a flower one day out of paper and I have no idea what they did, but I felt like I was absolutely incapable of folding paper, right? So maybe this message is simply to say to you, stop comparing. Stop comparing with that person on social media. Here's what I have learned. Comparison is the enemy of satisfaction. Comparison is the enemy of satisfaction. Whenever we compare with what someone else is doing, it distracts and it robs us of doing what God created us, what God created you to do. You can't fulfill God's purposes for you when you're comparing to someone else. When we're constantly looking at what he can do, what she can do, what they can do, when we're constantly looking that way, you can't fulfill the purposes of God that God has designed and wants you to be doing. As I've matured, I've noticed, one of the things I've noticed about the they and the thems is they and them have changed over the years. You know, the different theys and thems, but the bottom line is whoever you're trying to keep up with, the theys or the thems, whoever it is, maybe it's just getting with the faster media or the better gaming cycle systems or whatever, but whoever they are, trying to keep up with them will be just simply an unsatisfying lifelong pursuit that will get you nowhere. Solomon said it'll just be like meaningless, like chasing the wind. So let me give you a scriptural text about this pursuit of them and looking at them and saying, comparing to them. I think this is in some ways hysterical that this is right in scripture. In John 21, Jesus had talked with, he had risen, so now he's walking around with his disciples and he's telling them, this is what I want you to do. He's making it really clear what he's called, what he wants them to do, and how he wants them to live out their life, their purposes in life, right? And he talks to Peter and he says, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep, is the expression that's recorded. Now, Peter knew, and actually Jesus fleshed that out and meant, and let him know what it meant. He said, Peter, this is what I mean for that. That is, you are to care for my people. You are to lead people and help them understand and come to know me, as Jesus is saying this to Peter, right? He's saying, this is the way to a full life through Jesus. So Peter is getting all this. Peter knows this, and he's saying, okay, now I'm getting charged up. I think I know what I'm supposed to do. And no sooner did Peter finish hearing this instruction from Jesus that in John 21, 20, Peter turned and he saw the other disciple. This is what it says. Peter turned and saw the other disciple that Jesus loved, and he saw that he was following them, and he's actually looking over his shoulder, and Peter is looking at John, who's with them, and Peter saw him, and he asked, and he said, but Lord, what about him? What about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? What is it to you? You must follow me. You must follow me. You are to put down your footsteps, not someone else's. Jesus tells Peter right here and then what his purpose is. Follow me. Walk in the footsteps that I have set out for you to do. Use the gifting that I have given you to do what the mission I have put before you to do. Jesus has prepared Peter. He's set him up. He's told him what to do. He's given Peter an opportunity. He's put him in a place, in a neighborhood. He's given him all of these things. But Peter instantly compares himself to John. What about him? What about them? What about him? Is my position as prestigious? Is my brand, you know, the one? Is this the popular position? Peter wants what John has. Comparison is the enemy of satisfaction. The fastest way to discontentment is comparison. If you're unhappy about relationships or in a relationship, if you're unhappy, who are you comparing to? If you're unhappy with your children, who are you looking at? If you're unhappy with your home, What are you comparing to? Whatever you're unhappy with, check the standard that you are measuring by. Just check the standard. Comparison is the enemy of satisfaction. God created you to be you, to fulfill His purposes that He created you to do, to bring glory to Him in a way that only you can do that, because you have been knit together by God to do just that. You bring glory to God when you cooperate with God's mission for your life, when you follow His way, when you look at God and you say, this is the way I will go. These are the decisions I will make. This is what I will do to honor God, the decisions I'm making, the integrity I'm living with, the characters I am building in my life are to honor God and to speak positively and to speak about God in the way you live. You honor Him. Children, by the way, this is how you honor your mom also, is you do what they ask you to do. You honor your mom by doing what they tell you is best. You know, parents, you know this, to honor your children, you do what is best for them, not necessarily what they want, right? You do what is best. I've discovered I honor God. I honor God when I do what He has designed me to do. And it creates a great feeling, by the way. Let me share with you from Hebrews. This is what, I'll say, spurs me on. And if you know this passage or if you're familiar with it, you'll say, oh, I get that. In Hebrews 12, it's a powerful, powerful passage. And it tells us this. It says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know, in this current season that we are in, this crisis that we're all in together, but we're moving through, it takes perseverance. Let's not grow weary of doing good. Let's not lose focus. Let's be aware and be attentive. Hebrews 12:1 says this, let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There is a race that you are called to run. It is your race. My race is my race. I cannot win your race. You cannot win my race. How do you know what your race is? How do you avoid comparison? Look at what it says here. Hebrews 12 says this, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If you've ever watched someone race on a track, you know, do a running race on a track, each person has their own lane that they're in. Now, if they wander off the lane, it's like me going off the screen here, right? They wander away. And the other thing that happens is when they wander off the lane, it doesn't work, and they get disqualified in the race. They get totally disqualified. If you're running in the race and you start looking over your shoulder to compare and to see where your next competitor is, if you're looking at that and you're taking your eyes off of the prize, it causes you to drift and oftentimes stumble and sometimes to fall. I've discovered I cannot run someone else's race. Oh, by the way, what freedom that is to understand that and to follow it. What freedom it is, because instead of looking at, because you're probably thinking, pastors, what do they have, you know, to be competitive about? Let me count the ways. I've discovered that I cannot run someone else's race. And it provides such freedom for me to understand that. Because now I can look at other pastors and I can look at them, instead of looking at them as competitors, there is joyful freedom in cheering them on, in cheering them on. Run your race. Be the best at what you are designed to be. Make a difference in the way that only you can make a difference. It's so freeing. It's so freeing to say, I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. It is so freeing to know he is the author, the perfecter of my faith. I have a direction. I don't have to wander away. I can focus on him and I can follow him. And that is the way to live life and to live life fully and to live life with intention and character and to live life that's powerful. That's what to do. So run your race, right? My race, there is no one who could love my bride the way I am called to love my bride. I'm the only one married to my wife, Karen, and that makes me special. I mean, she's really special, especially because it's Mother's Day. You're really special, dear. She's sitting over here. You're really special. But I get to be husband to Karen. That makes me special. That this is my race. God gave me two children. They are such a blessing, and they are amazing and great children. My race is to be their father, to be the best father that I can be. That is my race. My challenge is to keep my eyes on the finish line and to keep my eyes on Jesus. You know, God has called me to be a pastor, and God has used me to build his church, to create an environment that builds people up, that connects people and builds people up. And I've watched people be set free. We've raised up leaders in the church that we've created here. We've raised up leaders who love to worship, who love to come together, and you're watching right now. You're part of this. Who love to lead children and love to lead life groups, who love to raise people up and lift them up and help people get to know the race that God has for each person. We have great people. We have great people here. And look how fast we have pivoted into this live streaming stuff. I mean, it is incredible. My lane, my race, is to build my relationship with Jesus, is to be a great husband, to be a dad, to be a leader, to be clear on the path that God has given me, to empower, to build others up. My lane is to shepherd and to shepherd this flock, to love these people, this church family, to lead these people. And I will tell you, in this current climate with the things that are going on, sometimes I wake up, actually almost every morning now when I'm waking up, I'm just asking God to guide me, to give me the courage and the wisdom to inspire each person, to help you run your race right now, to run your race, to be more like Jesus, to glorify God, to recognize that God has put inside of you exactly what he wants to be inside of you, to do exactly what he created you to be, to focus on him, to focus, when you focus on him and the prize that he has for you, when you do what he wants you to do, oh, your soul is just set free. And I realize right now in the middle of this crisis, it may feel very limiting. It may feel like, whoa, I am so limited. I don't know what to do. What does this mean? Because so much has stopped. But that doesn't mean that God isn't still calling you. That doesn't mean that God still has a purpose for you, because he does. God is for you. God is with you. God loves you. Maybe you go back to that song, One Thing Remains. God's love is all around you and all over you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God's faithfulness is great. Feel his presence. Step into who God designed you to be and who he wants you to be. Run your race. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Maybe right now what this means for you is to be the best parent that you can be. And I know that might include teaching school at the same time with the help of all of the teachers that are doing an amazing job. But you as a parent, maybe it means your race right now is to parent the best that you can be. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you're in a business place right now and you're still working and you're still doing a lot of things. Maybe it means for you to lead with integrity, to lead with integrity in your business and also in your family, to lead with integrity in your family. In everything you do, you're acutely aware that you represent Jesus in all that you do. You do things differently because you're running your race. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but when you're running your race and you're honoring God, there are times that when you're running your race, you may do different things than your friends do. Your lifestyle might be different from them, and they may even laugh at you because you do things differently, but you know that you are running your race. You're not competing with them. You're running your race. You're working to honor God. You're working to stay in the lane that God has called you to run and to be in. Maybe right now your race is to get in contact with others. Maybe you're phoning people and calling and just saying, "Hi, how are you? How's it going? What flowers are blooming in your yard?" Whatever it might be, you're emailing people, you're getting in contact with them. Maybe you're using social media for that event and for that venue to get in touch with people and help others see the presence of God right now. Maybe you're able to cook meals and you're dropping them off for someone else to enjoy, especially right now, right? Maybe you delivered plants recently, a reminder that God is present and God is growing us. Maybe, as I said, maybe you're using the social media to share your faith, to talk about how God is working even in these days. You are perfectly created to point certain people to know and grow closer to God. You are perfectly created for that. You can make a difference where you are. You are a masterpiece of God, created in Christ Jesus to do the work that God prepared for you to do long before you were born. God knew that at this moment, at this time in history, you would be right where you are. So run your race today. Run your race. This is what is so exciting to me, is we can run our race right where we are. Keep your eyes focused on the goal, on the prize. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And stop comparing. Because success is not a future event. Success is not getting back to life as it used to be. Success is being faithful to Jesus today and running the race that he has set out for us. You can't win every race, but you can win your race. Step into it. God is such a faithful God that he is with you now and will be. Step into this race. One of the greatest things that you can ever do and ever know is to experience and to run your race and to serve God and his purposes for you by serving other people today. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you that you have called us to come together. You've called us to be together today, even though we're digital and we're all over the map in this area and even in the country. Thank you, Lord, that we're coming together digitally so that we can experience you in a collective manner. So I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to remember and live by the faithfulness that you have for us, each and every one of us, each and every day, because great is your faithfulness, Lord. And help us to run the race that you have for each of us. Let us focus our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, the perfecter of life. And as we do, we will bring glory to you, Lord. And there is a great freedom that we experience when we do that. So Lord, encourage and strengthen us. And let's stand and sing this closing song together, or sit right where you are, but sing out this song, this song that we're going to sing together. Great is God's faithfulness. Let's sing together. May God bless you, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms and those who have taken that role and have run with that and run that race. Keep focused on Jesus, the prize for this life that will provide guidance and wisdom as we go. And may this week be a great week for you and your family and your loved ones. And I pray that you'll tune in with me next week as I talk more about how to make our current circumstances an opportunity for all of us and how to deal with some of our own feelings and emotions as we go forward. So I pray God's blessing upon you, and may you run the race that God has called you and made you to run, because you are God's masterpiece. God bless you. Amen.